Click that, and now we're recording.
I'll get the study on.
And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And now we put the study up, and we're ready.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation. Kahalcha b'Mashiach, part of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael, just a little piece. Kahal Yisrael, the congregation of Israel. And today's the Sabbath again. Seems like, I don't know about you guys, I feel like the week just flew by. I mean, I don't even know what happened from last time we were here. Just, here we are. But anyway, we're here, so let's pray and ask God to bless this reading today. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, the Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we pray, Lord and God, you always cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, in any spot, knowing that you know the hearts, you know what's in our minds, you know, you're very aware of everything about us, Lord and God, knowing you see us even now. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil, protect thy people, bless this reading today, give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. Give us more depths and revelation of your word, Lord and God. And all we want is the truth, Lord and God. We want nothing that's made up. We just don't want anything that adds to your word or diminishes from your word. We just want the simple word of God. We pray you'll bless and anoint this reading today. Help everyone here. Bless everyone in the room here. Bless everyone that's with us today live. I pray you'll prosper us. Yes, Father, give us favor with the unrighteous out there, and open doors like never before, things they're not even aware of. Yes, Father, you said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, so let us have it. Heavenly Father, we'll use it to the glory of God, and I just praise and thank the Lord for another Shabbat. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. You know, I'm happy today to be here, of course. It is the Sabbath. And, you know, we were talking a little earlier that, you know, our ministry, we touch upon many subjects. We don't touch upon one. We're not a one subject ministry like some people that we know, you know, and we wish them the best, and and they're not against us, so we're not against them. But we would wish that they would touch upon more than one subject, you know, because there's thousands of as endless subjects in the Bible. Just like this, you know, today we're still using the Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory, right? And still in the month of July, right? And it's the 28th day of July, Julius Caesar's month. And that's ridiculous if you think about it, but we're using that. God has his own calendar. We're in the fifth month, the eighth day today. And this month has no name according to Scripture. Judaism calls it Av, and that's made up. And the reason why we're so against that is it's adding to the word. And then Judaism tomorrow has a big deal, or maybe they may even be a day off, might be today, the 9th of Av. And they made up a whole big song and dance about it. And that's all made up too, because there's no Av and there's nothing in the Bible about the 9th of the 5th month. And if you look at my verses right here, here's 2 Kings 25:3. This says the 9th day of the 4th month, right? So that's not the 5th month and it's not Av. Okay, then you got the verse 8, it's the 5th month. Which day? Seventh day. So that's not the 9th of Av, okay? Then you have Ezra 7:8. You have the 5th month, which is, okay, it's the 5th month. It doesn't say Av. And this is the first day of the 5th month. There's nothing on the 9th of Av there, right? And there is no Av. There's not even nothing on the 9th day of the 5th month. Then you go to Jeremiah, and you have, and that was the 5th month. It doesn't say what day, right? And then you go to Jeremiah again. It says 9th day of the 4th month. So they're a month off with any kind of atrocities. Not that I'm happy about atrocities, but, I mean, Judaism, they made up so many things that people actually think something took place, first of all, on an imaginary name called Av, and then the next situation they made up on the 9th day. Which there is no 9th day activity. It's on the 4th month. Here's the 4th month, the 9th day. They're just a month off. And here's the 5th month, the 10th day. Okay? No, but they have a thing going on. The ninth of Av is some, like, you know, the word Av is father, and it's the sadness of the fathers and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know if you know any Jewish people, but they'll be talking about the ninth of Av. I've, you know, one of the sisters here, Yisrela, sent me a whole thing on this person, and it was all about the ninth of Av, and it's just, you know, it's just made up by rabbis. But anyway, I'm not going to bore you with that because there's no name Av in the scripture. That's how simple it is, basically. You know, we're the kind of ministry, if something's true, we'll be glad to proclaim it also. We'll be glad to talk about it also. But if it's not there, we're not going to add to the word. We're commanded by God not to add to the word. I mean, is that simple or not? Don't diminish from it. Don't take away from it. So my ministry is to do exactly that. I'm trying to undelete things that have been hidden, probably for centuries, and I'm trying to talk about things that most people don't talk about. Most ministries have a one-subject ministry. You can't have a one-subject ministry when there's so many different subjects to talk about and explain. So I'm trying to send a message out to them. Try to get a little more versatility to your ministry and, you know, get a little more and know what you believe. Because I see some people that are doing really good in the one subject. You know, they're going to other churches, first of all, or other congregations that, you know, they'll have things like the seven feasts. And that's totally wrong because there's only three harvests. There's only three feasts. So right off the bat, you know, they're just compromising because they want to go sell their product. Plus, we don't sell anything. We wouldn't sell anything to win souls. I mean, that's terrible to me. Anyway, for your convenience, and we're not, I want to make sure that everybody knows, we're not against these people. We just hope that they get a little more fine-tuned and maybe get a little more versatility to their ministry and try to talk about something else. Like, you know, you can't talk about the Sabbath all day long when there's a million other subjects, right? You can't talk about thou shalt not steal. We're the no stealing church. You know, I mean, you know, we hope you don't. But anyway, my ministry is just trying to touch upon every subject. Nowadays, you could read them, hear them, and watch them. My server is running back there, and that's happening very well. I would always like to come and view your congregation. I'd like to come and teach about the Hebrew roots of the faith, if you know anyone, or any groups of people. And we'll be getting more people, I know, soon, because, you know, as, let's see, they might be coming in the next month, but as we get closer to the seventh month, that turns into another separation. People get separated from us. But anyway, this link there. Today's subject, which I know, I just thought it was time to do this subject again, godly women. Now, I know a lot, this has been coming up lately in the last few months, that, you know, Apostle Paul sent one letter to these people in Corinth, and I think there was some other place too, one other place, I can't remember which epistle, which letter it was. So let's say there's two places. There was people there that were just, who knows what they were saying in the congregation, who knows what activities they were doing, and it's not like a commandment from the throne of the living God. So I just wanted to do this study again. This is probably my third time doing it since we've had our ministry, but I wanted to go over a couple of things here. So, I know, let's see, all the women here probably like to study. I hope you do too. Let's start. Now, I'm only going to bring up six women that were barren, and the other one was a virgin. I mean, you know, and who would have known what was going to happen? I mean, you got a bunch of barren women and one virgin. Probably wouldn't bet on that, you know. A lot too many things were going to take place, right? But it says in the book of Psalms, it says, God makes the barren woman to keep house. That's right. And to be a joyful mother of children. The barren woman says, yeah, praise Jehovah. Yeah. Praise Yah. Anyway, here's the six ladies I just want to speak about a little bit. There's Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Manoah's wife don't have a name for some reason. And we have Hannah and Elizabeth and, of course, Mary and Mary. Okay? Let me just read that. So we have Sarah that had Isaac. We had Rebecca had twins, Esau and Jacob. Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. Manoah's wife had Samson, a judge. And Hannah had Samuel, a prophet and a judge. Elizabeth had the prophet of the highest, that's John the Baptist. And of course, Mary had Yeshua, the Word of God made flesh. She was a virgin. It's pretty amazing. A bunch of ladies you wouldn't probably thought too much about, right? So I don't underestimate anyone. Here's Sarah. Sarah was barren. She had no child. So you probably wouldn't put a lot of interest in her, right? Because she's just might be a nice lady, but, you know, nothing's going to come forth of her. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, Sarai thy wife, thou shalt no more not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give her a son also of her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Lady, that's barren. Kings of people shall be of her. It's pretty good. So God can change anything. Here's Genesis again. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and will bless his seed after him. I will bless with his seed after him. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee as at the set time in the next year. So, you know, these are the verses where you see a barren woman bore a son, right? And then many things changed in history because of that. Because Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs, and then everything, you know, everything changed, right? So it's pretty amazing. There's a woman that was used of God, right? And I bet she did a lot of talking. Here's Rebecca. How about Rebecca? Check Rebecca. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou a mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them. Right. So here we have Rebecca. And she was also a Syrian, of Bethuel the Syrian. And her brother Laban the Syrian. So there's not, you know, there's a lot of things to think about that are never really brought up. Imagine somebody telling you you're going to be a mother of thousands of millions. I mean, through your seed, of course. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, and the sister to Laban the Syrian. There it is right there. So they're Syrians. How about that? Isaac entreated Jehovah for his wife because she was barren. And Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So here's a lady that you probably wouldn't have thought too much, you know, in that respect. And here she's going to be a mother of thousands of millions. And Rebekah, here's the verses, Rebekah conceived. And, you know, it's a big deal, actually. You know, she's a mother of Israel, you know. And Isaac entreated Jehovah for his wife, because she was barren, and Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she sent to inquire of Jehovah. She went to inquire of Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto her, I mean, God took time to talk to her. She must have been something. It says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Right? So here's a lady, Rebecca, that God talked to, and that's big. That's big to me. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Jacob was 80 years old. Excuse me, Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. So that's 60, okay? And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sold pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Eden. So here we have that whole situation, okay, with Rebekah. So far we went through two ladies, right? Now here's a third one, Rachel. Jacob and did so and fulfilled her week. Jacob just loved Rachel, and he got Leah too, actually. But he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Rachel was barren, just like all the other ones. Isn't that amazing? They're all barren. And when Jehovah saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb. That's right. Rachel was barren, but God just can... Just think, God can do the impossible, or the things you're not even expecting, or the things you're not even sure of, or the things that you think there's no hope, or the things that you think there's no answer. He could change anything. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. I mean, so we have Leah had Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and the sons of Rachel. She's supposed to be barren. She had Joseph and Benjamin. Those are two good ones too. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, was Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. So here's another barren lady, right? And you know what? They had like the 12 tribes there. You know, even their handmaidens were in there too. Now we have this Manoah's wife. If you go to Judges, there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren. Bear not. Another lady. Yeah. It seems like a lot of ladies that God was going to use, and a lot of great things were going to happen through them and their seed, they all started out looking sort of handicapped in a way, you know? No hope. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto the woman and said unto her, "Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but you're going to conceive and bear a son." And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and Jehovah blessed him. So there's another lady that's barren, and she went and she bore a judge of Israel. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords. This is the Philistines. And upon all the people that were therein, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brother and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So because of a barren woman, we had a judge for 20 years, right? He killed a lot of enemies too, Philistines. So far, these ladies that you wouldn't put too much, you know, I guess you wouldn't gamble on it and put a lot of money on them, you know, or whatever you want to say. They're doing things that are changed history and changed the whole course of everything. Here's Hannah. 1 Samuel says, reports, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zorafim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. Yeah. Check this out. This guy had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. And guess what? Hannah had no child, the one that God was going to use. God uses these women to do a lot of amazing things. But lately we've been hearing God, the women are supposed to just shut up and sit in the corner, or don't teach, or don't do nothing. I don't see that in the Bible. I see God using women mightily here to change history and to bring forth kings and dukes and princes and Messiah and everything else. Hannah, he gave a wealthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because Jehovah had shut up her womb. But fret not. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. Shmuel, yeah. That's what that means. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And Samuel died. There he goes. I'm just giving you a quick little, you know, summary of all these women in the Bible. But this to show you barren women. And I'm sure other women that weren't barren also did some amazing things too. Here's Elizabeth. Remember her? She's a daughter of Aaron. Now, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And you have to know about the courses. You have to go to Chronicles and read all the courses of the priests. And then you can sort of judge when Yeshua was born too. That's an interesting way of doing it. It's an actual what they had to do in a certain month. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Check this out. They were all walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Jehovah blameless. Commandments and ordinances. That's in the Gospel of Luke. Commandments and ordinances. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. What do you think of that? So people today that say you have to keep the commandments are...
They all say nobody's perfect.
Well, it says right here. They were both righteous before God. They were blameless. And they had, check that, they had no child. Guess why? Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well, and they're old too. So they have everything against them, right? Old and barren. Old and barren. So you think life's over. Not if God doesn't want it to be over. He just changes everything. You can't go, well, I'm in this situation and it's over. It says, but the angel said unto her, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear the son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. John's birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Jehovah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. How about that? Wow. Wow. John the Baptist. Of course, he's foretold in the book of Isaiah. He's the forerunner of Messiah. He's a very important person from a barren woman. And also Malachi, right? Right. Two, also, book of Malachi. And many of the children of Israel shall return to Jehovah their God. So he's a forerunner of Messiah. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Jehovah. So he was going to go before Yeshua. He's going to be first. Isn't that interesting? Even though he was born 6 months ahead of time. 6 months before Yeshua. And thou shalt, it says, and the child shall be, check this out, he's the prophet of the highest from this barren lady. Could you imagine God saying that? You have the prophet of the highest from some lady. She's not just some lady. You know what I mean? She's a daughter of Aaron, a righteous woman, keeping the commandments and ordinances. That's her testimony in the Bible. It's a lot. It says, for thou shalt go before the face of Jehovah to prepare his ways. Wow. Could you imagine that? John the Baptist was going to go before Messiah to prepare his ways. And then, of course, her cousin, Mary, that must have been like sort of a blessed family. Imagine that. She goes, I have John the Baptist. She goes, well, guess what? I'm having Messiah. No, I'm only kidding. I don't mean that. I'm just kidding. Now, all those ladies I just brought up, they're all barren, right? They look like there was no hope. Now, this one is even like really no chance of having a kid. She's a virgin. That means she's never been with a male. Says to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That's somebody you wouldn't bet on having a kid. And the angel came in unto her and said unto her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, Jehovah is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Notice how it doesn't say full of grace. The Catholic Bible stuck full of grace in there. And that's, you know, the Catholic Bible makes it sound like Mary is a reservoir full of grace. And you don't need Yeshua. But that's not in there. It just says, blessed art thou among women, right? But they changed it. They put full of grace. I'll show you that later in the Catholic Bible. I have it. Yeah, highly favored. They don't like that. Anyway, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou shalt have found favor with God. That's all you have to worry about. Just think, God was, here's a lady, God was actually watching. And he says, you found favor with God. God actually, what was he watching her for if she's insignificant? No, she's not insignificant. God was watching her. He said, you found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Yeshua. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's what he's going to be called. And Jehovah God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Amen. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. No end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I don't even know a man? I'm a virgin, and I'm young. I'm a young virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. It's going to be a miracle, Miriam. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wow. It's giant. A virgin.
I'd
pass
out.
Yeah. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which shall be told her from Jehovah. Whew. And here's Mary, Miriam, said, My soul doth magnify Jehovah, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. It says, For he had regard of the lowest state of his handmaiden, For behold, from henceforth all nations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty had done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. She talks about fear too, from generation to generation. And he had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich had he sent away, empty away. He had holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Amen. So here we have, so there were six women already and one virgin that you probably wouldn't have put too much, you wouldn't have bet on them of thinking of some good things were going to happen and change history. But God, you changed everything. So we read, Miriam, it says in Luke, we see where it says, and Yeshua himself, he was about 30 years of age, being as supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. That's really the son-in-law. That's Mary's father. So if you don't have that in your Bible, you should include that there, okay? I don't know if you missed that. That's Luke 3:23. It should say son-in-law. Okay, but anyway, through Mary's line, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is Mary's line, right? Look at all the people that showed up. And I'll just go all the way to the end real quick. David. Should I just read it? I'll just read it. Okay. We have Joseph, which was the son-in-law to Heli, Mary's father, which was the son of Matthai, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Yana, which was the son of Yosef, which was the son of Mattanias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Elsi, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mathanias, which was the son of Semei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Yehuda, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of, I have a sister, Joanna, come to think of it, which was the son of Risha, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Shealtiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosan, which was the son of El-Modan, which was the son of Ur, which was the son of Yossi, which was the son of Eliezer, which was the son of Yoram, which was the son of Mattath, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Yehuda, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Joanan, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattaniah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Wow, from this lady, that was a virgin. It's amazing. What do you think of that? Which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz. Who was Boaz married to?
Great.
Yeah, she was a Moabitess too. How did that, what? Which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esron, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Saruk, which was the son of Rag, however you say that, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noe, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalaleel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, and which was the son of God. Dun, dun. I almost need some music after that. I need like a da da, you know. That was from God to God, yeah. That's beautiful, isn't it? So I would say that Miriam there, she was blessed. What would you think? What would you think? Okay, I think she was used of God. Okay, so we read that already. Here's a couple of other holy women in the Bible that were mentioned. Remember Tamar? She went into Yehuda, her father-in-law, because he didn't do what was right, and she kept the line of Messiah going. We have Tamar. She bare unto Yehuda of the seed which Jehovah shall give thee of this young woman. Phares. He's in the line of Messiah. Without her doing what she did, it might have looked bad. You know, she played the harlot, or she disguised herself. And Judas didn't give the firstborn to her. Because remember, the brother died, and he's supposed to get the next one. But that never happened. So two brothers died. So she went forth and stepped in there, and the seed of Messiah continued. Nothing can stop the seed of Messiah, right? She did right. There's Tamar. She did a lot of talking, actually. Right? Remember she took Jacob's jewels and stuff? With his ring or something? Yeah, staff. Okay, we read about Miriam the prophetess. Here's another Miriam before the other Miriam. Here's a Miriam. What's she doing here? She took a timbrel in her hand and women went. They all went out with timbrels and with dances. What's she doing? I don't remember her getting reproved for doing that. Remember that? And she magnified the Lord there, too, because of Pharaoh. They were all destroyed. I don't remember Moses going, get in your place, I'll do the talking. Do you remember anything like that? No. How about, this is the one, because a lot of people only think, I remember some people always go, oh, what you bring up is Deborah. I just brought up a whole bunch of ladies God used, and I know they did a lot of talking. And here is Deborah. She's a prophetess, and she judged Israel 40 years. She's the judge. She put people to death. She kept people alive. She was the ruler, the judge. Yeah, you had to talk to her. 40 years. Yeah, we'll meet her. We'll meet Deborah. Man, that's going to be exciting. 40 years of judging Israel. That's a lot. She must have met a lot of people that didn't like her being the judge. What is she doing up there? Well, God put her up there. Okay. How about Jael, or Jael, as you might know her? Blessed above woman shall this lady be, of Heber, the Kenite. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Remember, she killed Sisera. Remember that? God used her. And here she is being blessed by God. No, this isn't a long study today. I'm just trying to bring up some women that in the Bible that, because most people don't ever recognize the women. Because, you know, everything is, now, I'm not trying to say the man is not supposed to be the head of the house. And the man is the head of the family. Right? That's if he's godly, that is. If he's not godly, forget about it. If he has other gods, I wouldn't be too, watch out for that. Because you don't know what he's going to do next. Especially people that say one thing and then they do something else. Watch out for those kind of people. Because you never know what they're going to do. They could be so sincere and the next day they do the opposite. So watch out. But be like these ladies in the Bible. How about Zelophehad, the daughters of Zelophehad? Remember that? Here's some daughters. They spoke up. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Heber, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the family of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. These are the names of his daughters. Naming some daughters here: Mahla, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tizra. And the daughters of Zelophehad, they speak right. They're talking. What are they doing? Yay. It says, they actually made a stand because they wanted to get the land, right? It says, thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among the father's brethren. Thou shalt cause the inheritance of the fathers to pass unto them. Could you imagine that? They spoke up. They didn't just shut up in the corner. The daughters of Zelophehad. Here we have a Huldah, the prophetess. Remember her? Sister Huldah, she's the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. This Huldah, she's a prophetess. She's no lightweight lady. She did a lot of, God sent her. God sends a lot of people. And there's Chronicles with Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. There she is. They spake to her to that effect. So she was a prophetess. They came to inquire of her from God. They couldn't even go to God. They had to go to her. She's the prophetess. Yeah. That's big. Yeah.
She was the mouthpiece for God.
She was God's mouthpiece, yes. If you have a prophetess, does that mean she's doing what God has her prophesying? Isaiah, he went into a prophetess and she conceived and bare a son. There's another prophetess. We don't know what her name is. How about Anna? She's another prophetess. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of, she was from the tribe of Asher. She's not lost. She knows what tribe she was from. She was of great age and she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years old. So she's 84. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wow. That's dedicated. Lady, 84. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto Jehovah and spake of him. She's talking. She's a prophetess. To all them that looked for redemption in Israel. For she knew Yeshua was the Messiah. Huh? Yeah, she's preaching in the temple, right? It says 40 years, she departed not from the temple, right? Yeah, so there she is. What's she doing talking in the temple there, preaching about Yeshua? Boy, she's out of turn. Who told her to speak? Huh? God. And then we have a little information about Phoebe, a sister. A great sister. I command you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you receive her in Jehovah as becometh saints. Paul's saying, make sure you honor this lady and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she had been a great helper, a succorer of many, and of myself also. Phoebe. She's a talker, a preacher, and a helper. Phoebe. Probably never thought of Phoebe too much. You'll meet her one day. Little, I don't know if she's little, but Sister Phoebe. Then we have Miriam, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. They must have been twins. No, I'm only kidding. And Julia. It says, Paul saying, go greet Miriam, which bestowed much love on us. Miriam. In other words, she helped a lot. She did a lot of things. Salute Tryphena. And he's saying, salute them. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, which labored in Jehovah. Salute them. That's great. Salute Persis, which labored much in Jehovah. Salute Rufus, chosen in Jehovah, and his mother. And Paul said, and also mine. So Paul's mother was there doing something, and he has a sister around somewhere. Salute Asyncetus, Phlegion, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Phlegelus and Julia. Look, there's Julia. Go salute. Make sure you welcome her too. Nerus and her sister. And his sister. So, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Messiah salute you. And let's not forget Lois and Eunice, okay? I don't know if you think about them often. Paul tells Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that means the genuine faith which was in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother, that faith was first in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, this genuine faith, and now I am persuaded that is in thee also. So they were a good testimony. They passed it on to you. Wow. And then, of course, we're not going to read you the whole book of Ruth, but there's Ruth. And you know what happened through her? Messiah was born. David was born and the Messiah. God definitely used her. I mean, there's a lot, when you think about it, there's some gigantic things took place because of women in the Bible. Without them, nothing would have happened. Okay, we read about, of course, when Yeshua died, who showed up? There was no men. All the women showed up. Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Salome. Where'd all the men go? They're all hiding out. I mean, you know, realistically, where are they? Look what it says right here. Now when Yeshua was at Bethany, this is a different, when Yeshua was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. And Yeshua said, you know, later on you read it, it says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman, what that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. You don't ever hear people doing that. That's Lazarus's sister, right? So do you ever hear people talking about Lazarus' sister? Supposed to talk about her and let her know that she anointed the Lord with this oil. I never hear anybody talk about her, but we do here. Her name is Miriam, right? So we have Miriam and also Lazarus' sister's Miriam. Okay? And there it is right there. And when the Sabbath was passed, Miriam Magdalene is a different Miriam. And Miriam, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now when Yeshua was risen the first day of the week, he first appeared to who? A male or a female?
Female.
A female. Miriam. Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. He could appear to anybody first. But who was there? That is big. She's the first witness of him raising from the dead. Wow. That's big. It says, and certain women which also had been chosen And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. There's Joanna and Susanna. I have two sisters. One is Joanna and Susanna, come to think of it.
Oh, wow.
I know, that is pretty amazing. Susanna is really Shoshana and Joanna. And Joanna, the wife of Cusai, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So they partake, they helped out. There's some more ladies that you don't ever hear about. And let's not forget Priscilla. Remember her? They found a certain Jew, Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Seems like people are always trying to get rid of the Jews, you know? And they came unto them. And Paul, after he tarried yet a little while, and he took leave of the brethren, and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And having shown his head in Centuria, he had a vow. Anyway, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This guy, Apollos, was preaching. Apollos was a mighty guy in word. And he was speaking boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard, they went and got Apollos, and they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They did, both of them. So in other words, the husband and the wife, not just the husband. Right? That's what it says. I should have put a Apollos in there. But anyway, we have a Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Yeshua. Paul even mentions them in Romans. And he mentions them to the Corinthians. They must have done great. I mean, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. And then it says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Supposed to help them, not hinder them, or put them down, or belittle them. Supposed to help them. It says, with Clement also and other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And let's not forget Claudia. It says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeted thee, and Prudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. I mean, if Paul can take time out to mention ladies, they must have, you know, they're not insignificant or of no value. And then, of course, if you go read the book of Joel, which is recited in the book of Acts, we see that in the last days, God's going to pour out his servants on his handmaidens, and they're going to prophesy. That means talk what God says, right? And they shall prophesy. And that's from Joel 2:28, Acts 2:18. It says he's going to put his spirit on the daughters. That's female, right? And they're going to, and the handmaids, he's going to pour out his spirit. And then, of course, we have the virtuous woman, Ruth. We read that already. And then we have Proverbs. The virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, right? So God talks all about this. And we'll just read that real quick. Proverbs 31. I know you would like to hear this.
Yes.
I don't know why they took such time out here. Why did Solomon do this? Took time out to write this all about a virtuous woman. Who could find her? Her price is far above rubies. Her heart of her husband, he safely trusts in her. How about that? He trusts in her. So that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what she's supposed to be doing. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's not lazy. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth it a field and she buys it. So she's a property owner. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. How about that? She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle doesn't go out at night. Everything's always running properly. She lays her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. That means she must be doing a lot of talking and dealings and a lot of activities, right? She's not walking around like this. She's not afraid of the snow for a household, because all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, they're all warm. And she makes herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband's known in the gates when he's seated among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and sells it and delivered girdles unto the merchants. So she's a merchant. How about that? She's buying and selling. Strength and honor are clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the way of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's never idle and just delirious. She's always achieving, doing something. This is a lot. I don't remember big write-ups like of men like this in the Bible, do you?
No.
Her husband rises up and he calls her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Her husband praises her. What? Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. You know, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fears Jehovah, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works, because she does a lot of things, praise her in the gates. And that's my short little study on women in the Bible. It's not long, but I just wanted to bring that. I don't know why, I just felt like bringing that across, because lately every guest that's been coming by, that little thing's been popping out of their lips. Do you allow women to teach in here? And he's, you know, do you allow women to talk? And I'm thinking like, yeah, yes, we do. Because God does, and so does the rest of the people in the Bible. So I'm going to do it too. Anyway, we're for anyone that preaches the truth or says anything that's right. You know, we just stop, but we do stop people that are contrary to the word of God, whether it be male or female. But anyway, I hope did you enjoy this study?
Yes, very good.
So we got a bunch of barren ladies that are no longer barren and changed the whole course of history and mankind. And then we had the virgin that brought forth the Messiah that there's hundreds of prophecies about. She was even prophesied about. A virgin shall bear a son. I mean, what else can you say?
No man can take credit for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not trying to put man against woman and woman against man. I'm just saying everyone is significant to God. And God uses whoever he chooses, whom he chooses. So anyway, in closing, I just thank you for being here. Hope you enjoyed this. I see a smile on everybody's face. Usually everybody walks around like, whoa, that was a severe message. Now, I know there's all these religions. Who knows? I'll probably get some emails saying, oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that they won't hear nothing I just read. And they'll just their little doctrine will just persist in their mind. Yeah. But anyway, Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for your word. And I thank you for all the women that are faithful to the living God and men, Lord and God. We just thank you today for all the brothers and sisters that you have joined the body of Messiah. And you said no one member is more important than the other, but every member is very needful. And I just thank God that you see these things, and we see like you see, because we read your word. Bless the rest of the Sabbath. Bless anything we do here, whatever we do, sing, bless the food, bless anything we do, Father. Let it be to the edifying of the congregation. Let it be to the edifying of the God himself, the Father. And I just thank God for the Sabbath, and I thank God for your word. And may this message vibrate through everyone's mind and heart. Let it just be there that everyone is significant. And I give you the glory and the praise in Yeshua's name, Father. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. And I know it's a quick study, and you're probably thinking, oh, that was too short. But I think it was enough.
Significant.
Shabbat.